Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sacred conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you would like to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I am Sister Q, and tonight we are having an open community conversation. Please feel free to call in and share your thoughts and concerns regarding ULU. Again, the number is 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone to be recognized. Joining me tonight is Brother Thurman, a little kind of co-host, Brother Sermon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be here with you, Sister Q, and the rest of the sisters and brothers by radio and by internet, by telephone and by internet radio heard around the world.
Thank you, Brother Sermon. So I guess we can start our open community conversation. Do you want to kick us off with a topic of interest to you?
Yes. When it comes to our people, I'd like to say for starters that give thanks to the fact that, as was said by ancestor brother Del Jones a few minutes ago, and give thanks to Sister Q for making that happen, is that, as he said, before we begin any meetings, conversations, gatherings, we should pour libations to the ancestors, and Del Jones did that so very, very well. A large number of ancestors that he poured libations to. And with that said, I would also, and Del Jones was also called the war correspondent. And he said that we pour the libations, and then what we do is get busy with what we came here to do. So if we came here to have this an open community conversation, let's do that. We have to nurture in our minds, in our spirit minds, that we must come together and be prepared, polite enough, calm enough, in love enough with each other that we can talk about everything that we need to talk about that's going on amongst us and outside of us, the planet, the universe, and all of those things, which was the ways of our original ancestors for millions of years, that they were involved in everything of not only the planet, but the planet and beyond. And we should also, I wanted to, if I didn't already say it, this subject of an open community conversation, we should be identifying where would we be having continuous open community conversations. Would it be at some so-called five-star hotel? No. I would say no. But we're in this community conversation, and we need your say also, not so that it can turn into a movement that will be our say, not my say, our say. And I would suggest, and we've touched on this before for a couple of years or so, is that in us lifting us is certainly appropriate organization because of their focus of cooperative economics and breaking free of the cruelness of the capitalistic system. And the Us Lifting Us cooperative system is an exact model. It's what we need, and we don't know of anything that's better than the cooperative economic system that Us Lifting Us has in place. And it would be appropriate that we have these open community conversations in a place called the ULU for Us Lifting Us Cultural. And this is just my language, my words, ULU Cultural mm-hmm. and Research Center, meaning it's a cultural center, but it's also vital that it would serve in multiple areas, in all areas, subject areas of our lives. And there's almost nothing I can think of right now that we as a cultural people, as a melanated people, we should not fail to be having the people with the knowledge and whatever tools to do our own research to validate whatever is going on with us, whatever it is that we need to know about. If we're told that we need minerals and vitamins, that we must do our own research on that and not rely on the cereal manufacturers that would claim that they have some food stuff that's nourishing. we need to do our own research. And it's just like I mentioned minerals and vitamins. We need to do mm-hmm. our own research of, if you were asked, which is most important for us? Is it minerals or is it vitamins? I would, my limited knowledge about having done a poll around the world of African people, but I would think that a lot of folks would, to answer, especially if I said, what do we need the most, vitamins or minerals? I would suggest that a lot of folks would say vitamins. But if we had to have only one, there are people that have done some research that would say that it would be minerals. But we need to do our own research. What I just said, that ain't enough. So that's why I proposed as a title of the Cultural Center, and we need other people's input, the Ulu Cultural and Research Center. And I hope that I made some sense about the why the research cultural, it's got to be about our culture, not European ways or culture, if you called it that, but our culture and our own research, scientific, spiritual, intellectual research.
I think that's a very good idea, Brother Thurman. And part of the reason for that is we, to my knowledge, we don't really have independent researchers who are in a position to bring the findings of their research to the community. So that's one of the reasons I think this, what you're saying is absolutely key for our advancement. Yeah. Also, you asked the question about if we need vitamins or minerals. And I had seen somewhere at one time that there are only minerals. There's no such thing as a vitamin. Vitamins mean vital minerals, the minerals that we need the most. A lot of the minerals are we can deal with in small amounts, or trace minerals, and the ones that are not so much trace minerals are vital minerals, and they call them vitamins. So we would even need to get to the bottom of that, find out if that's true.
I agree.
We can't trust anything we've been hearing.
I agree. Another good thing is when we come together and have open community conversation, when one sister or brother, when we speak to each other's minds, and we should all be listening word for word what the other one says, it brings forth other mm-hmm. thoughts, and it even can bring forth, and ideally also awareness. And as I was listening to you, Sister Q, talking about the Cultural and Research Center, it got me thinking what I wasn't thinking on a few minutes ago. Historically, mm-hmm. forever, we have actually had and still have researchers. For the most part, they're not part of a large, well-funded by us as a people research and laboratories, but there mm-hmm. is, have been and still is, I wasn't thinking, because as I listened to you, I thought about, for example, an ancestor, Sheikh Arthur Diop or Diop, that went mm-hmm. to him along with another brother, I believe it was Obenga. They had done massive research about melanin and the biology and everything surrounding and explaining the genetics and the biological functions of melanin. And he brought it to the United Nations, and they brought it, and they just brought it strongly, and they shocked the United Nations because they were so well studied in research and validating and explaining what they were talking about that it needs to be said better than what I'm saying it, but it was accepted that the melanin dosage test, which was a test that Diop brought forward along with the other brother, that verified scientifically that the original people and the mummies and that was found in Africa, including Kemet or so-called Egypt, was actually by biological and scientific testing that they had done verifies that the ones that built the pyramids all over Africa, Sudan, as well as other places and all over the planet, as well as Kemet. And that's just an example of research that has been done. And another one that came forward as you were talking is the European non-Africans, but this would be Europeans and some Asians, but non-African people, non-richly pigmented Africans have for, I don't know, more years than we have lived, have had gatherings, and annually they give reports at their annual gathering where their findings of studying melanin. Now, to the credit of our people, I personally know that at least in my lifetime, there's been a few, if not several, all African melanin conferences. And just as an example, one of them was in 1994. It was a 3-day weekend at UDC in Banneker City, or so-called Washington, D.C., African World Melanin Conference. And I'm certain that there was at least 14 researchers that study and some still study melanin. So we've got historically our folks that have done it extensively and others that are doing it with the best tools that they have to work. And so that's why it's so another reason it's so important that we have these kind of conversations, because it brings forth thoughts when we come together and talk to each other's minds, things that we had not thought about. And one other researcher that I want to add real quickly is Brother Yahki, Y-A-H-K-I, if I spelled that correctly, Yahki Awaken, and he's got different titles that you can look on the website and as well as on Facebook and some other mediums. But he's got his own research facilities. And he's said recently that people that study energies, and including electricity, they, when somebody like this European named Tesla, that actually got his information from Africans that knew about electricity and batteries before there was a Tesla and before this planet had ever heard of a European. And so when you hear Tesla, don't get deceived and think that he came up and invented electricity or batteries or free energy or devices that can just operate freely without any kind of power plant or plug-in electricity. He said that when Tesla came forward a long, long time ago, that people said he was crazy. Well, Brother Yahki is coming forth, has been coming for a couple of years or more, a few years, in debunking a lot of myths about the body, especially from a health perspective. But he's a master herbalist and a chemist and a researcher. And so that's just another one we need to add to that we need to pay attention to, because a lot of the illnesses that most people think of it from a medical perspective, and I don't think much of the medical or being medically minded. But Yahki Awaken has, in his research and and tested it again and had other labs to verify a lot of his findings, that what we're being told is just totally different from what the reality is when you do the real unbiased research. And I think I'll stop right there because you had something else you wanted to say, Sister Key.
We have a hand up, so I'm going to answer this call. Caller with the last four digits, 3440, please state your name, where you're calling from, and join the conversation.
Yeah, greetings, Sister Q, Brother Thurman. I want to join the conversation. This is Brother Shabaka down in southern Florida, and you really awakened me when you're talking about the need for us to do research and to really challenge the indoctrination that we have received as a consequence of the educational system of the European. In particular, a few hours ago, I was listening to Sheikh Anta Diop explaining the African origins of Egypt. In fact, he wasn't really interested in it initially. From what at least the narrator said, he was mostly wanted to show that the impact of Kemet came from the south. But then he did visit Egypt down into the Sudan, Nubia, and what have you. And along with, as you said, Brother Thurman, Theophile Obenga, I went to the Cairo conference, I believe in 73 or 78. I'm not sure the exact date. All right, but it was somewhere in the 70s. And challenged the white myth, you know, of everything coming from the Middle East and Europe down to Asia, I mean down to Egypt. And so he went over there. Obenga was a linguist as well as a historian and Egyptologist and a historian. And Diop himself, a historian, but he was a physicist, and he was able to show that the concentration, by using a test to show that the concentration on the mummy samples that he got created the same kind of illumination that would be the same thing if you scrape some skin off our arms or wherever, all right, to prove that the people in the Middle East and Western Asia and Europe were not the originators of the of the African high culture in Egypt, and in fact it came up from the south, came from the south down to the north, because that's the way the Nile River flowed, all right. And so everything there, now when you look at Egypt, everything was a manifestation of things that you would find in the south, including the animals, the ostrich feathers, the all of the ornaments. None of this stuff was from the north. Okay. All right.
Right.
But there was this this thing that I was listening to after I listened to Diop. This white boy was trying to prove that the ancient Egyptian, he politely said, yes, we understand the contributions that came from the south, but right now, essentially, the desert had separated north and south. Well, we don't know how much desert was there when we started talking about 4,000 and 5,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's not the same as it is now, all right?
Sure.
And so he was looking on that, and that's one of the tricks that the European does, is to look at things as they currently are and make it appear that, you know, similar kinds of things happened before, just like they are today. Like, it's unimaginable. You know, and I used to hear Brother Thurman talking about being out there and working and stuff like that. It's unimaginable that people will leave their air conditioning, you know, to go out and work in the sun. All right? It's not imaginable, but people didn't have air conditioning two, three, four, five, well, a few hundred years ago. We don't even have to go to the thousands. We could just go that, you know. So it's very hard to conceive for people now to imagine what was happening then. And as a consequence of that, people explored our ignorance. When I say people, I'm talking about the European. All right, we'll explore our ignorance and give us the perception that things was not that much different then as it is today, and then do a whole bunch of other stuff. So, yeah, I think, brother, you hit on the point. They're lying from the science. In fact, I heard someone say about the viruses. In fact, there's one school of thought that viruses are not harmful. In fact, they are released. They may be signals coming from, you know, at least signals coming from the genetic period or cellular, internal cellular, all right, signaling that aids in the communication, all right? But we have tampered. Well, I should say, I keep saying we, and that's part of my indoctrination. The white boy has tampered, you know, let's make it real. I haven't tampered. He has tampered, all right? Has tampered and created such havoc in our health system, health and wellness, you know that it's very disturbing. And I think that the cultural center that you talked about, sister, during conference or the convention just a few days ago was talking about a health center. All right, but it's all there because we separate. The only reason we compartmentalize this stuff is because we've been indoctrinated by Western logic, okay? We didn't necessarily see it was clear-cut lines, you know, and a lot of times we tempted to integrate. But let me stop. I just wanted to add that, and I really appreciate this topic, and hopefully, you know, more people will call in and give their perspective. So let me just shut up.
Well, I'm going to leave your mic open, Brother Shibaka, so that there can be dialogue, you know, or a conversation with you. Someone else may have heard what you said and want further clarification. So I'm going to leave your mic open.
Okay.
I want to say that I agree with what you have said. At right now, my bottom line is we have been lied to about everything. So we need to put our melanin caps on and go back and research everything we think we know. And unfortunately, at this time, we do not have, to my knowledge, I'll say it that way, we do not have a facility where everything that is being studied is being studied purely from a melanin-dominant position. And we throw out everything that we've learned up until now and go back to square one. And I think for a lot of us of, you know, a certain age, difficult to get rid of everything and start again from the base because we have built our lives and all of our understanding on the lies we've been indoctrinated with thus far. I yield.
I agree with what you just said, Sister Q. We've been indoctrinated with the lies, and so we got to pick up the pieces, but we also, along the way, know that we had brought forth Brother Shibaka. We give thanks for everything that he brought forth in the conversation tonight. And he also mentioned some powerful words, and that is high culture. Yeah, we've got ancestors that had what was called high culture systems or high culture periods. And it's still there in us. And just a few days ago, and I saw it again today, and I just said, this is trying to get me to remember this. And it showed the IQ of Einstein that's supposed to, according to Europeans, been a genius and very smart. And number that this particular chart was showing for Einstein was 160.
Mm-hmm.
And it also showed beside Einstein was a picture of a brother that, as far as I know, still living, is living in the physical body. And his mm-hmm. was at least 250. It might have been more than that. But the point is that a dramatic difference. And so mm-hmm. when it comes to science of melanin, there's a dramatic difference of the genetic makeup of melanated people. And so we've got to go forward in terms of having our own cultural and research centers wherever we are on this planet, you know, if it's in whatever part of Africa, the U.S., the Caribbean, wherever we are in numbers, we need to have this because we've got to talk to each other's minds and learn how to hear each other well enough that when whatever I said, there's much higher knowledge that I'm not aware of. I need you, Sister Q, Brother Shabaka, and all of the sisters and brothers when we gather at our Cultural and Research Center, the Ulu Cultural and Research Center. I need you to come forth proudly, politely, and bring the higher knowledge.
Because
mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not growing. We've got to grow.
Exactly.
And if we don't do that, we got to challenge each other's mind. And
I think
and
we have been indoctrinated to the word to go to war. Okay, because the system we live under is the system of war people. So everything we're taught is how to go to war against whatever. So what you're suggesting, Brother Sermon, is that we learn how to address each other without or accept a statement from someone else without feeling that person is warring on us or they're, you know, challenging us. They're just presenting a different perspective, and we don't need to take the fact that that perspective is different from our own perspective to mean that they are against us and now we got to fight.
Yes.
I think this idea of debating everything rather than I present what I think and you present what you think, and then we can build you can show me how you got to what you think, and maybe I will recognize that I miscalculated something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could come to an agreement with what you're saying rather than thinking that I have to stand and defend my position rather than, well, I defend my position instinctively rather than open my mind to examine what you're saying and see how it works with what I'm saying. That's another
mm-hmm.
skill I think we need to learn.
Yes. And we can do it. We got to know all of our problems as well as other problems, but all of our problems are solvable. And so there's a segment of us that have practiced a mindset, a lifestyle to be at war with each other and argue with each other and fuss and cuss and worse,
mm-hmm.
it's just
mm-hmm.
a mindset, but it's all solvable. And I can stand on it for the rest of my physical days, because I have experience during the unjust Vietnam War, brothers that came
mm-hmm.
together in a circle, and I'll continue to tell it because I was in that circle. that we made an agreement that when we got the opportunity that we would come together in a circle and talk about anything. And we did it, including religion, and we never, ever had an argument because we came with so much love for each other and sincerity about the gathering that there was never, ever an argument. When somebody said something, for example, about something about religion, when that person finished his words, the next person contributed. And the outcome was that every time we left the gathering, we all had learned some more knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, I've talked about it before, but, you know, I had got injured and cut, and a lot of blood was flowing. And my first thing that came to my mind is what most people would say, including my mother, and that is, it would have got hysterical and said, you got to go to the emergency room and you got to get stitches and a tetanus shot. In my mind, thought of those people, including the people that were near me that actually didn't see the blood. And I was scrambling to get away from those people. And I said, I don't want to see none of those people, nor my mother, because I knew of herbs that would stop bleeding. Anyway, I wanted to get to the fact that it took me an hour to get home. When I got home, it was a summer day, and a brother was coming to see me that I had forgotten we had an appointment. And he was stunned, and I said, don't be stunned, you know, just go ahead and talk to me what you came to talk to me about. But he said, but I ain't never seen anything like this. We've got to challenge each other and help each other grow. And that was a victory for my conscience that I used Mother Nature to stop bleeding without having to go to the institution of the other people and without having to deal with their chemicalized thing they call a tetanus shot, without dealing with them invading my body further with stitches when nature had it all covered. And in any case, the bleeding stopped. There's no indication that I was ever cut and I never had stitches. So everything is solvable, and we got to recognize that. And we've got to, and just like I mentioned the part about research, everything, whatever subject we're dealing with, we must research it thoroughly to make sure that we really know the highest levels of truth about whatever. If it's 20 degrees tomorrow morning, could we go outside with a T-shirt or no shirt and shorts on? Now, most people say, what? Oh, no. Dare do that. That'd be crazy. But then the other part with regard to me saying we must research everything and research it and do it again. Because if you look up and investigate cold therapy, and there's such thing as hot therapy included, but if you investigate cold therapy or cold immersion, there's lots that we need to know about that's beneficial to our well-being to deliberately go out in the cold, but you're doing it deliberately and you're not forcing yourself and just saying, I'm going to just run out here in the cold and just stand there. You know, but it's when you deliberately say, tomorrow morning, when it's 20 degrees, I'm going outside with shorts on, and I'm going to stay there for 2 or 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But if we're not deliberately speaking to research, what would be the outcome? But if we look it up, that subject, and you find that part of the outcome would be it strengthens your immune system, and your body strengthens your defense system, and your body will also get other benefits out of that. And then you find, I just thought all my life that it couldn't be done, that it's crazy. But anyway, at the cultural research centers, we would topic like that and just actually delve into whatever research has been done and whatever of any of our people in particular have gone through the process deliberately of cold emerging themselves in cold. Now, it didn't always happen. I mean, it can be an emergency situation, but if there's benefit to that, then for survival purposes, it would be beneficial for us to know that we could have a different ability to peacefully and comfortably enjoy the benefits of cold therapy for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remind me of a brother that I met that lived in Chicago. He never wore a winter coat, and he took public transportation, and he said that he would be on the bus stop, and other people would walk up to him, and they said, "Man, aren't you cold? You don't have no coat on, aren't you cold?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm cold." He said, "But you have a coat on. Are you cold?" And they would say, "Well, yeah, man, I'm cold." So he said, "Well, what's the point of the coat? If I don't have a coat and I'm cold and you do have a coat and you are cold too, what's the point of the coat?" So to my knowledge, Brother Thurman, he wasn't in, you know, a T-shirt and shorts, but he was in the Chicago winters without a coat. And he said, when I met him, I think he said he had been in Chicago like 15 or 20 years or something, and he never had a coat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and ideally, that what you just talked about and what we're talking about should make our people get curious to know, what is that about? Well, you gave a testimony of a live brother that you talked to. We need to be curious to know. So when I came across the cold therapy thing, I had already been curious about the subject of taking cold showers. And I spent most of my life, the idea of taking a cold shower, I would say, no. And when I began to research cold immersion or cold therapy, there's a lot of information out there that would be of value for us to research.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a fan of that research because I have been out in 20 degrees or 27 degrees with shorts and a T-shirt on. Stayed there for a while, intentionally, deliberately.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It raised up my energy throughout the day and other things.
Right.
And so much for us to research, and somewhere in the last month or two, on the Us Lifting Us page, there's a piece that was written about the, I don't know exactly how they titled it, but it was about the subject of healing. And it went on to, and this is something that we must research, what should we be willing to do in order to be totally liberated? And some people might quote Malcolm and say, by any means necessary. So if by any means necessary, if we have spiritual, cultural, moral reasons to not openly embrace the subject of stealing, then let's stand on those reasons. Now, in a survival situation, those moral and spiritual reasons could still be held on to, but in a survival situation, what would you do and what should you do? And so this short article went on to say that when the Asians were bombed, Hiroshima, for example, they And also it talked about China in particular, but Hiroshima also, but it talked about China. And that wasn't not long ago in our lifetime that China was very poverty stricken.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got inspiration amongst themselves to say, we're going to do something about this.
Right.
And among the things that they did was started stealing. And among the things that they did stealing by way of sending spies around the world into this country to
mm-hmm.
steal the whatever they could find about the workings of, for example, it may have been the result of Hiroshima when a bomb dropped on the people. But those people
mm-hmm.
afterwards, the ones that, with the, all of the ones that died, the ones that are still suffering right now from the effects of the radioactive radioactivity, they
mm-hmm.
quietly started traveling around the world and taking a lot of pictures and just smiling at people that didn't understand their language, but they were intentionally, deliberately taking pictures, including pictures of trains, and then they
mm-hmm.
sent them pictures back home, and some people call it reverse engineering, meaning take a picture of something that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to try to piece it together yourself and find out even more. But anyway, they said that one of the things that turned the Chinese economy around in a big way was a result of stealing. And then it went
mm-hmm.
on to include in the article that when African people are being oppressed around the world and apartheid and all of this cruelty, we go and pray to a European and say, thou shalt, and the European taught us, thou shalt not steal.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, they're stealing massively in Africa, in the Congo. They've got things in place to steal massively from Haiti and other places.
Mm-hmm.
I could go out this Sunday or in Africa or wherever and get on my knees to a fake white being. And it's just
mm-hmm.
in my mind. But in the meantime, the ones that instructed me and wrote books for me to follow, to bow down to this fictitious white being, they're stealing all the time, including through their religious organization. And their religious organizations are warmongers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the subject of, if I found that article and brought it forth to the Cultural and Research Center, we just need to study and research. Is it feasible that we should be taking a different attitude rather than just saying, oh, no, the Lord says, thou shalt not steal.
Well, I think
yeah,
part of it is an opportunity to define terms for ourselves.
Yes,
because the Europeans will say that the Chinese are stealing from them. However,
yes.
they will not say that they are stealing from the continent of Africa. So we get to, if they get to define for themselves, we get to define for ourselves. And I'm sure the Chinese don't say they're stealing, they're gathering intelligence. We could do that.
Right. They look at things a little bit differently, you know, cultural differences and particularly from the European. And they've done,
mm-hmm.
as Brother Thurman said, yeah, they sent out and learned.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Obinga and Diop, you know, one of the things that they had talked about, particularly Diop in particular, because he was a Pan-Africanist, as both of them were, and he was saying that he called for a federation of states, you know, because he said no one state in Africa, or really we could go Africa, we could go to the Caribbean, We could go anywhere where black folks there, where we might be even the majority population in the U.S. All right, we just don't control. We control nothing. All right, and as a consequence, it's difficult to negotiate with states like the U.S. or China or Russia. Russia is larger than both China and U.S. Have less people. All right, but they have a lot of territory and a lot of minerals. You were talking about that earlier. One of the things that we need to get out of our vocabulary when we're talking about what is happening is using the term we. Mm-hmm. No, we have to use the term him, you know, the European, you know. We need to remove the we from the vocabulary. And when we see tremendous things that are happening that affects negatively the impact of the world, it's him, he, or European or white boy. I don't care what you call him, but don't get us in that suit, because we become, what it does, it makes us seem like we want to be part. And that's another thing we really got to struggle around, this thing of identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, the European has been pumping money in the last decade or so in a number of reparation organizations. You know, you got a number of them. It was just a few a couple of decades ago. And there's a lot of reparation organization with their own philosophy, so-called, all right? But these philosophies, if you study them, seem to have been touched a little bit, you know, by the imposition of things from outside of the reparation movement that penetrated inside, okay? And, of course, with a variation in philosophy or ideology, there's come conflict. And, of course, he knows how to divide and fuel conflict. I mean, that's his specialty.
For sure.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, we haven't learned yet that he does that. You know, everybody talk about the COINTELPRO back there in the 70s and 80s, and somehow think that it's not still going on. You know,
exactly.
I mean, and these are supposedly nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
It's going on. I mean, and Brother Zerman was talking about, you know, about the health thing. We get sick, the first thing we do is run to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
For sure.
And it might not be an emergency, but we're going to run there. Okay? We're going to run there faster than you can say emergency. All right? And then they'll keep you there for a half a day. And then give you an aspirin and tell you to go home, and if you get sick, come back. Now, you know how much that emergency bill is? All right, so I'm saying that the running to the emergency room, the saying we when it should be him, you know, and all that other kind of stuff indicates the level of indoctrination that we are exposed to, and that sometimes what it is that we believe him or we hope that he has changed. And we can't find out anywhere in his history such changes for any brief period of time if there was a change. Okay, and so we have a number of things to do, from health to economics to politics. Like, you know, since COVID in particular, I'll use that. I always say that COVID was a good pandemic, which resulted in everybody being quarantined and not meeting like we used to do. Because, see, when we used to do, we used to come and meet. You know, we have debates and stuff like that, and then we plan. Well, you know, if I'm a J. Edgar Hoover modern day, I need to know what you're doing. All right, so everybody now is using the Internet and doing Zoom meeting. All right, but there's only a few people that is involved in information technology. You know, you that the anything that runs through the Internet, all right, is stored, copied, and then put in into servers. And then the building of AI is to come back and analyze that information, and now they give an AI the capacity, as artificial intelligence, to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you believe that AI is programmed, you know, by computer scientists and software engineers who are mostly from the European extract into their programming, they build in or embed in racial bias.
Mm-hmm.
So when decisions are being made by AI, it's not to our best interests in general.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But we don't mm-hmm. look at that. We go back and we'll do that. We'll start talking about convenience. And as a consequence of convenience, we're going to use this. All right. Well, I'm saying it may be convenience now, but you should have it in the back of your mind that everything is being stored and tracked just to keep eye on you because, you know, it may be expensive to always send an agent into your organization. I don't have to do that right now. I just listen to the conversation.
Right.
Your meeting is going to be online, you know. So mm-hmm. I've been talking about this, and people look at me like I'm crazy. You don't need to worry about that. I'm saying we need to begin to worry about that because there's a lot of discussion up there in the web sphere. There's a web sphere in which people are discussing this, AI, its implications, mm-hmm. bad parts, and all that other kind of stuff. We don't have any idea what they're talking about.
Exactly.
All right, and they're talking about us, how to control us. So, but mm-hmm. how to control us, but not allow themselves to be controlled. You know, since they're giving AI the thing to begin to make decisions. So I just wanted to say that we have a lot to do. We need to know what's out there, and we need to get off of our butts, all right, and begin to look at this stuff. All right, it's, you know, the European is not going down. You got people in, I'll just talk about it because, you know, I'm in the reparation move, somehow who think that the European is going to accommodate us and give us reparations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm saying we need to push it, but we're not in a position of strength. You know, we don't have the leverage now to demand, you know, what we should get as a consequence of hundreds of years of enslavement and then Jim Crow and a whole bunch of other stuff after that. All right?
Right.
We got to be in that position. Mm-hmm. So the person in New York, the governor of New York, signed this bill. Out there in California, they signed some other bill, and they're trying to get Biden to have something else. And see, all Biden wants you to do is come out there and vote. And so we don't see the trick that they're using to get us just to come out there and vote for one party and don't get anything. We might as well vote for a Republican as much as the Democrats treat us over the years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these are the things that we need to talk about. These are the things that should happen in the cultural center in a similar way. And I'm only bringing this up because Jews do it. You know, Jews used to have, you know, Saturday classes. So you go to school, okay. You know, you go to the public school, whatever school during the week, but you had your Saturday class, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, the cultural center need to be open so that people can take advantage of it daily, but definitely make sure that we have the classes, all right,
for
to
sure.
inform. Right. Mm-hmm. How are you?
You know, Brother Shibaka, you mentioned Zoom. And as you said that, I remember seeing something a while back that said that any content you put on Zoom is the property of Zoom. And they can do whatever they want to with it, including sell it to whoever wants to buy it. So, you know, that is, again, a reason why we need to hold the conversations you're mentioning. And also to create our own. I'm not computer literate to that degree, so I don't even know what we need to create. But we'll say our own private Zoom that is for our eyes only, if that's possible. I'm sure it's possible, but we don't know.
Yeah, it is possible, and in fact, it's a boy. It's a brother who has developed an isolated system. It's connected to the internet, but you know the internet can't get in there because it's heavily encrypted. And mm-hmm. he's offering it up to African countries because he told them you need this and not be hooked into the European system. Now I don't know how many African countries because you know right now our African leaders you know are not that hip on being sincere, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so But he has, apparently he has that capability according to him. Now, I don't know very much like yourself. I don't know very much about it because I haven't, I do have the web address, so I plan to learn a little bit about it. But these are for, you know, young people to really get involved and show us how it's done. But we need a separate system with everything here is to monitor everything. I mean, your health records, you know, they're on a server stationed somewhere with people with certain access who can get hold of it, and they're supposed to be private. Well, they ain't too private because people use that for statistical purposes, and they publish it on CDC and Health and Human Services websites and all that other kind of stuff. So, every time you go to, and when you go to the hospital, you're hooked up to a machine and a computer. You notice you're hooked up to a computer? Computer is running the machines that you're hooked up to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that input, Brother Shabaka. Brother Sermon, anything you want to add? It's a little after 10, not that we have to get off anytime soon. We got to 11.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say real quickly and very important for us to ingest this and give it some deep, deep thought. A brother or a sister in the last few months, in response to the subject about AI, he said we need to go back to what was original, and that was ancestral intelligence.
Right.
And so they were able and still are, and we still have the capability of doing it, so it's all solvable, to communicate with each other, whether it's a mile away or 10,000 miles away or maybe to Mars. And if we are failing because we are so indoctrinated in this other stuff that we're failing to come to the Ulu Cultural and Research Centers and have in our Saturday classes or whatever the processes to go through to help us get to that level of our mind to where we can communicate nonverbally ancestral intelligence and help us to also see through this artificial stuff. Artificial stuff ain't never been good for us. It ain't never. And the forecast ain't good that it never will be. It's all poison. Poison of the mind, poison of the planet. We can use it as tools to defend ourselves, but guns and bullets ain't never been a part of spiritual sanity. And we've got to reach for spiritual sanity. On the Us Lifting Us page probably last Tuesday is a picture of a clown from McDonald's. His name might be Ronald. But he's in a hospital room with a brother, and he's hugging his brother. And he and the brother are smiling, the brother in particular is smiling. But the message says, I'm here hugging and thanking one of my victims. When you visit one of your victims in the hospital, that's on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, but the brother's just smiling with IV machines and stuff in the background. And the clown's got his thumb up, said, right on. So it's kind of like the tombstone on the Nutricide book from years ago. Nutricide, which means the nutritional destruction of the black race. The tombstones had leaves and flowers around it, and it was, and it was the tomb,